This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I want to ask you how you're doing because I can see from all of you you're very very tired. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. Just another about 2.5 weeks left for Ramadan. 2.5 weeks left for us to push ourselves to the maximum. May Allah grant us the strength to do it. Ameen. Yesterday we began the story about the man with two gardens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah gives a parable of two men. And some ulama have mentioned that they were brothers. Some of them they were friends. But they knew one another. And the one had been given a lot of different types of wealth. Allah goes into detail, many, many ayat, 3-4 ayat, explaining the different kind of investments he had. He had properties and he had farms and he had livestock and crops and all these different kinds of wealth. And he had, within the midst of all this wealth, he had a river that was running through it. And Allah says that this wealth never ever failed him. I mean, the investments always gave him the maximum return. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave him this, we gave him that. And after he had received all this wealth, what did he do? How did that make him? Instead of humbling him, instead of making him more grateful, he became haughty, he became filled with pride, and he said to his friend, and this was during some kind of discussion, maybe they had an argument, maybe they had a disagreement, maybe just out of, in a way of saying it, he made his friend, he belittled his friend. He said, do you not see that I have more money than you, I'm richer than you, and I am stronger than you in the respect of men, meaning I have more helpers, I have better servants than you. In fact, I am better than you in the sight of people. So we continue. وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتُهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. And he now entered his garden, he looked at his investments, he looked at his portfolio of investments. وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Allah says, and he was oppressing himself. The person that he was harming the most was himself. قَالَ مَا أَذُنَّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. And he said to himself, I don't think this empire of mine will ever come to an end. Look how great this, how many acres of land I have. Surely this will last forever. This empire of mine will be there forever. And he even went to a certain level and he said, وَمَا أَذُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا. And in reality, I don't even think Qiyamah is never actually going to happen. وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ. But if I were to return to Allah, إِلَى رَبِّي, لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. Surely, I will have better than this for Allah. Because of how good I am and how great I am, Allah is obviously going to reward me even more than this. Now, this man's wealth, as we said, wealth and poverty are not rewards and they're not punishments, they are tests. For some people, wealth will be the reasons they enter Jannah. For some people, wealth will be the reason they enter Jahannam. And it's the same with poverty. For some people, poverty will get them to Jannah. For another group of people, poverty will be the reason they enter Jahannam. This man, Allah has given an example of this man, how this man's wealth destroyed him. He began to feel himself superior. He began to feel that his wealth made him better. And in fact, he began to doubt even Qiyamah. Now many people will say, look, and this is the thing of the material world that we're all in. If you ask someone on the street, you know, a Muslim, do you believe in Qiyamah? So of course I believe in Qiyamah. He says that. But what have you really invested for your garden in the Akhirah? How much of your time is actually invested in the Akhirah? If all your focus is on this world, all your effort, all your sweat and blood is to put into the garden of this world, then you're not really focused, then you're not really, your actions don't say that you believe in the Akhirah. So this man used his entire life pumping it into his fields, into his dunya investments, without any concern that I have an Akhirah that I'm going to. Like one sheikh mention, it's strange that we spend our life and work hard to beautify our house, which we're only going to stay in for 30, 40, 50 years. But the house which we're going to stay in forever, you know, this is only a temporary house. The house you're going to stay in forever, your qabr, your akhirah, that house we forget about, we neglect. So this man neglected his akhirah. So his friend said to him, قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ. So the poor man said to him, وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُ, during a discussion, during a dialogue, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. Have you made kufr of Allah? Now kufr here, kufr has two meanings. Kufr means to disbelieve, yes, and it also means to be ungrateful. It's two meanings here. For example, Fir'aun says to Nabi Musa, are you making kufr? Not disbelieving in me. Are you ungrateful to all the blessings I've given you? So this man, the poor man is saying, are you ungrateful to Allah? Now, and he, you know how we sometimes say to people that are quite, you know, impressed with themselves, we say, don't forget where you came from. You may be now living in Bishop's Court, but you were from District 6 also, not so long ago, right? So this man is telling his friend, remember where you began. Before you became so rich, where were you? Maybe you were also working in the fields. And in fact, if you go all the way back, Allah says, you began as a nutfa, sexual discharge. That if those drops fell on your clothing, you would wash it off. And even before that, you were dust. So Allah says, this is where you began. This is where you started, sand and dust. And in reality, that's where you're going to end up again. That's where you're going to go. So, did you forget? Did you forget your origin? So when you feel a sense of self-pride, always remember, before I achieved this qualification, I achieved this level of income, remember where I started. Remember my origin. You know, subhanAllah, behind our titles, behind the clothing that we wear and the wealth that we have a false sense of greatness. But remember, we didn't all start like that. We started with much, much less. And so easily can we go back to that. لَكِنَّ هُوَ اللَّهُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي شَيْئًا. That He is my Rabb, He is my Lord, and I do not make any shirk with Him. سَوَّاكُ رَجَلًا. And He says that, as for me, I say that Allah is my Lord and I do not commit shirk with Him, with anyone. Now how did this man commit shirk? How did the wealthy man commit shirk? And this is the dangerous thing. And this part is very important. When we think of shirk, we imagine someone worshipping an idol. Or maybe worshipping Jesus. We say, we as Muslims, we can never commit shirk. Shirk is the one thing that will cause somebody to enter Jahannam forever. So we always feel we're safe from shirk because I make salah. Here the poor man says to him, you are making shirk with Allah. How? Because he forgot Allah completely. He put his wealth above that of Allah. He put his dunya investments, his dunya pursuits. He gave the honor and the dignity, he gave his time and his effort to his dunya above that of Allah. And in fact, he went a step further and he believed, this is mine. I am the one that did this. This is my brilliance and my intelligence. So you could actually end up committing shirk with your wealth. Your wealth can be the reason that you commit shirk, wa yadu billah. Walawla, so now he's teaching his friend, walawla idha idh dakhalta jannataka kulta ma sha Allah, la quwwata illa billah. So he says, it would have been better for you if when you entered your garden and you saw all these amazing things, you said, ma sha Allah, la quwwata illa billah, that there is no power except that which belongs to Allah. Now he's teaching him a very important sunnah. That phrase, ma sha Allah, it's actually three words. It's ma sha Allah, that which Allah wills. And it is the sunnah when you see something that you like, either in yourself or in someone else, when you see it, the first thing you should say, before you say, wow, that's so beautiful, someone say, ma sha Allah, meaning you attribute this blessing to Allah. Because the minute you forget to say that, you take the barakah out of that thing. Even in yourself. When you feel a sense of self, something that makes you feel, you look at yourself and you think, well, I'm looking quite good today, say mashaAllah. You look at your kids and you say, oh, look how nice they're doing in school, say mashaAllah. And especially when you see something in someone else that gives you a bit of sense of envy, I wish I had that, should have been mine, say mashaAllah. La quwwata illa billah. La quwwata illa billah is a shortened version of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This phrase is one of the phrases that's written on the doors of Jannah. La hawla means there is no change. And la quwwa, and there is no power except with Allah. Now usually when we say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, people think we say it for a bad thing, right? You see something, an accident, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You know, when the adhan goes, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, you're supposed to say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. He says, Ya Allah, I must go make salah again. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Right? It doesn't mean that. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah means that no change can happen except with Allah's permission. And this is for good or for bad. So usually when we see a bad thing, we say only Allah can change this. And also when we see a good thing, we say it's only from Allah. So the adab, the thing that prevents you from, you know, you can harm someone unintentionally with your eyes. This thing is called the evil eye, right? It's mentioned in Surah Al-Falaq. The hasad, min sharri hasidin idha hasad. Someone's envy, even if it's unintentional, it can harm someone. Just by that ill, negative feeling. And the way to rid yourself of it is to say, mashaAllah, but even better, to actually make dua. Barakallahu lak. May Allah increase you in that. So you make dua without that person hearing, you know, I wish I had that. May Allah give this man more than that. He has a beautiful car. I wish I had it. But Ya Allah, may he get a second one like that. And when you do that, the angels make dua for you. There was a Sahabi Prophet peace be upon him says, you want to see a man of the people of Jannah? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I'll show you a man from the people of Jannah. And this Sahabi, we don't know his name. He walks past the masjid and they said, that's the man. The second day, something similar. So the companions, we don't even know who the Sahabi is that walked by. Unknown Sahabi. Not the big Sahaba that we know. So one of the younger Sahaba said, I want to find out who this man is. So he went to his house and he said, look, I had an issue with my father, my dad. Can I stay with you for a few days? So he said, no problem. So he stayed with him for a few days. And he wanted to see, what is this man doing that makes him a man from Jannah? After 3-4 days went by, he says, you know what? I haven't seen anything. And he told him, look, yeah, I must be honest with you. The Prophet, peace be upon him, mentioned that you are of the people of Jannah. I thought you're doing some great dhikr or some tahajjud. In fact, you know, in reality, I'm doing more than you. I do more tahajjud than you. I do more fasting than you. What do you do? What is it, your secret? So the man says, well, I don't know what it is, except the one thing I can say is that when I see a person getting something good in their life, they're moving forward in life, I'm genuinely happy for them. I feel good inside for them. And I want them to do better. And this is what I genuinely feel. So the Sahabi said, now this is the reason why you are a person of Jannah. And this is a very, very difficult quality to attain. Allah grant us that quality. What we love for each other, what we love for ourselves. So he says, in Tarani, now it's beautiful. This poor man was insulted. The guy said, you are poorer than me. My kids are better than you. I'm a better person than you. And then he went on to say, he doesn't think Qiyamah is going to come and all this is mine. The man first began teaching him about Allah. He insulted Allah, so the poor man defended Allah. Now he defends himself. And this shows you another dawah methodology. So then the poor man says, إِن تَرَنِي أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي خَيْرًا مِنْ جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيَّ حُسْبَانًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتُصْبِحَ سَعِيدًا زَلَقًا أَوْ يُصْبِحَ مَاؤُهَا غَوْرًا فَلَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ لَهُ طَلَبًا. So then the poor man says, you know what? Why don't you like say mashaAllah and you praise Allah for what you have? Do you not consider that maybe Allah can give me something better than what you have? Yes, you have your wealth and your property, but Allah can give you something better. Not all blessings are the same. So one person is given wealth, one person is given beauty, but Allah can give you something else. So never ever discount the blessings that you have. We always judge success in terms of monetary success. That's just one type of blessing. How many people have so much wealth, but they don't have health? So much wealth, but their relationships with their family is not happy. So much wealth, but they're internally miserable. So never ever think that we, as much as they have, it equals to happiness. And then the man says, and are you not afraid perhaps, or do you not consider that Allah can remove this blessing? He can send a calamity upon your orchards, your fields, or it could cause the water to sink in and it disappear and you won't be able to reach it. And in reality, this is what happened. So whether this man didn't make a dua, but he just suggested it. And the ulama mentioned here, be very, very careful of the people you offend. The du'as or the ill feelings, the harm you cause to a wali of Allah, even though he doesn't make du'a against you, but because you hurt his feelings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take retribution on his side. And also the du'as of people that you regard, the du'as of the poor, very powerful. So when you give charity, don't think I'm giving because, you know, I'm such a generous person. You are buying their du'as. Buy their du'as so that they can make du'a for you and they can put barakah in your life. Be selfish about it. I want all these people to make du'a for me. So I give them. Jazakallah khair buta. May Allah reward you. May Allah increase you. That is the barakah in your life. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُحِيتَ بِثَمَرِهِ. Two words. Allah spent ayat explaining all the different types of wealth that he had. And then in two words Allah says, and then we surrounded and destroyed his wealth. All just so without any detail, like that, disappeared. Overnight, 1 second, it was gone. فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا. And he began clapping his hands or shaking himself, like hitting his hands in sorrow of what he spent in there. His 50 years of work disappeared in 5 seconds. All that he spent disappeared overnight. وَهِيَ خَاوَةٌ عَلَىٰ أُرُوشِيَا. The top was turned upside down. وَيَكُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدَ. Oh, ya Allah, I wish I had not ascribed any partners with you. So how quickly, always consider how quickly a blessing can disappear. Especially when you take it for granted. SubhanAllah, we know that water. Speaking to my granddad, may Allah grant him a long, long life. I mean, he was saying, isn't it amazing how we never ever considered opening a tap a blessing? All of us made dua and said, just, Allah, thank you, Ya Allah, for the water that comes out of my tap. We never ever said that. Very few of us. We flushed the toilet and we thought it was a blessing. Now to flush the toilet is a blessing. Allah took a blessing that we just took for granted, withheld it, and we pray Allah returns it so that we now appreciate what we have. If we begin to count those blessings, subhanAllah, how many blessings there are. وَلَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ فِيَةٌ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مُنْتَصِرًا. And this same man who said, I have so much strength and so much power, Allah said, he had no group to assist him. When the calamity of Allah comes, no one is going to help you. Your best friends, your money, your partners, your family, they're going to stand one side. Allah says, when the calamity of Allah comes, there's no group was there to help him against, and he could not defend himself. And it's too late. When the punishment of Allah comes, it's too late. So we jump quickly, and we'll bring quickly to the slides. We'll talk about how to increase your rizq. Right, so we skip 2-3 slides away. Right, next slide. Right, how to increase your rizq. Now, being wealthy is not bad. And you may understand from this parable, oh, Allah is talking against wealth. Not bad too. In fact, many of the senior sahaba, they were wealthy. And having wealth is an asset, it's a resource which could buy your place in Jannah. The poor Sahaba complained to the Prophet ﷺ. They complained about the wealthy. They were envious. Why? They said, just we fast, they fast. We make salah, they make salah. But they give charity and we can't give charity. Which means they have a higher place in Jannah than us. We can't compete with them. So your wealth is your opportunity to increase, not in the dunya only. Yes, it's fine to be comfortable, but more, think of it more than that, your akhirah investment. So how do you increase your wealth? From the Quran, there's a few tips. Nabi Nuh says to his people, if you make tawbah, yursil as-samaa alaykum midarara. Oh my people, start making tawbah, Allah will open the sky and send rains down. And that's something we need. We all should make tawbah. And he will increase you in wealth and children, and he will send rivers for you. Just making tawbah. Istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's number one, tawbah. Taqwa, meaning being conscious of Allah. Allah said, and if the people of the towns had believed and had taqwa, we would have opened for them blessings from the heavens and the earth. Underneath us, there's so much of resources we don't know. And on top of us, so much resources. Allah says, if we had taqwa, He would send that to us. This is a beautiful one. The Prophet ﷺ says, if you want to increase your wealth in the dunya, then you keep ties of kinship. So that if you keep your family together, you are good to your parents, your kids, your brothers, your sisters, it will be a means by which Allah will increase you in your wealth. You want that paycheck to go further? Then one of the ways to do it is to keep family ties. Of course, giving charity will only increase you in sadaqah, charity. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the more you worship Him, the more He will increase you. Allah says, O son of Adam, take time out of your worship, take time to worship me, and I will fill your chest with richness, and I will remove your poverty, the poverty of your heart and the poverty in your pockets. And if you do not do that, if you focus only on making money, so subhanAllah, people sometimes message me and say, is it okay, I can make, you know, a taraweeh after, you know what they mean by work is so hectic, I can't make dhuhr and asr, man, can I just make all of it taraweeh, you know, five waqts when I get home, because work is important. SubhanAllah, you're putting the preference of your dunya over that of Allah. So Allah says, and if you do not do that, you don't give Allah His due share of ibadah, Allah says, I'll make your hands busy. I'll keep you very, very busy in the dunya, and your rizq will not increase. You will work harder and harder and harder, but your rizq won't go anywhere. SubhanAllah. Allah will make you lose double. Hajj and Umrah is another means of increasing your rizq. And we said it's amazing how people who never went for Umrah before in their life, once they go for that first one, they seem to go every single year. They spend 30 years to save up for one Umrah. Then once they go for the first one, they go for the next one and the next one and the next one. Hijrah, that's for those who Allah says, if you leave and not only hijrah means leave the country, but you leave a job. A job, you say, look, this job A is going to give me more money, but it's bad for my deen. I make hijrah of that job, and I go to a job which is less. Allah says, I will give you more. When you choose something out of taqwa, two choices, Allah says, I will give you more. And this one is a very easy one, and perhaps this is the one that we should all be doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we hear it in the khutbah every time, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That if you just give shukr, Allah says, just say, Ya Allah, thank you for the blessings I have, He will give you more of that. Just count your blessings. We should count our blessings daily and say, Ya Allah, thank you. Especially now when we're fasting, give shukr for what we eat. So that Allah can increase us with barakah, our partners, our family, our deen, the safety we have in this country. We should all praise Allah before Allah takes it away. Being honest in our dealings, Allah, the Prophet ﷺ says, when two parties are honest in their business transactions, there's barakah in it. When people are dishonest in their business, then Allah takes away all the barakah. That profit that you had will actually destroy you. It will actually give you no blessings. And then the last thing is, always have dependency on Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you would trust in Allah, He will surely, and you put your trust in Him, He will surely provide for you as He provide for the birds. Every morning the birds leave their trees hungry, and they all come back every day. You don't see a bird dying of starvation. They all come back to their tree filled up. So Allah says, there's a rizq for all of us. There's no need to cut corners, no need to cheat, no need to go, break the law for that, or to put the deen second. Your rizq is there for you, and Allah will provide for all of us. May Allah put barakah in our rizq, and may Allah grant us blessings and khair in it, and may it be a means that we will enter Jannah, and may Allah not cause our wealth to be a means against us. Ameen. We continue with our quiz. So there was no question last night, and therefore we'll have a question this evening. When should you say Ma Sha Allah? Should you say it when you are going to do something in the future? Do you say it when you forgot to do something? Do you say it before you eat? Or do you say it when you feel pride? Are there any questions? westmuhammad@gmail.com. If you'd like these lectures, burhanul.org.za. And we have a mailing list. So if you'd like to add your name to the mailing list, those of you who'd like these lectures on your phone, take this number down. It's 084-222-1308. 084-222-1308. You can receive this. So you just send your phone number, or you send a WhatsApp message, and you'll be able to receive it via email or WhatsApp, these lectures. Fitra, 40 rand. Fidya, 10 rand. May Allah bless us. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.